All right, Chair, you're good to go if you want to go ahead.
Yep, thank you, Sarah. So I would like to welcome everyone to the meeting this evening. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure that their mobile telephones are switched off or turned to silence, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting, as they may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I will remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they may have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except when the council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to your microphone system on the computer, so please ensure that your microphone is switched off or switched on before speaking. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via the instant messaging feature so that you are aware this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. So I would like to welcome you all to this meeting, this special meeting today. I'd ask for any apologies on behalf of colleagues that couldn't make it tonight.
Chair.
Yeah, go ahead.
Chair, there's an apology in from Councillor McAvoy, Councillor Sharvin, Councillor Stokes and Councillor Savage.
Thank you.
Sorry, Chair, if you just bear with us a wee second, we're having a bit of problems here in the chamber. There's actually no sound coming out in the chamber.
So
we're just trying to troubleshoot it here and hopefully get it fixed.
Chair, it was probably an apology from Valerie Hart as well. She told me that she didn't think she was going to make it, so unless she's on here, there's an apology from Valerie as well, right?
Just yours, Terry, for a second. I just want to check if that's going to echo.
It's okay.
Is there anybody online getting an echo? Or is it okay?
No, it's just saying well, sorry.
You have them on? Yeah, okay. Well, that's okay. Yeah. Okay, sorry, Chair, you can go ahead.
Yeah, so any other apologies then? I have apologies from Clark as well. Sorry.
There's an echo there now.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, we're getting that here as well.
I'm back on mute.
Chair, just I had apologies there. But in, I don't know, I can make it simple. I was mentioning John late there. Karen McAvitt, John Trainer at Howard Devon. Thank you, Mike, there. Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Declan. See you in the chat.
Gavin, no.
I can hear.
1 2 1 2.
Nothing on, and I'm muted. Sorry, Chair, I fixed it now. You're good to go.
Yeah. Were you able to record the apologies there, sir?
Yeah, we can. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So moving on to item two then, declarations of interest. Yep. So... moving on to item three then, I would like to welcome the delegation from North Iron Water, Ronan Larkin, Stephen Blackwell, Valerie Crozer, Michael Rainey, and I would like to invite them to make their presentation today.
Chairman, thank you. Good evening. And thank you for your invitation to this special meeting. I understand this meeting is also special because you're Nurean Mourne Down District Council's youngest ever chair. So it very much is a special meeting, and good luck with your role over the coming weeks. As you said, myself, I'm Ronan Larkin, Director of Finance and Regulation at Northern Ireland Water, and then we have Dr. Stephen Blackwell joining us as well, and he's head of our investment management unit within our asset delivery directorate. So what do we mean by asset delivery? It's the people who get the assets built and into the ground and on the ground so that they can carry out the role they're meant to do. And then we have Valerie Crozier here and Michael Rainey, and they're making some notes and they'll pick up with Q&A as well. So I guess, you know, by way of introduction, Steve, I think you're driving the slides. Is that right? So you can push that, yeah. that next slide. You know, we're very aware of Nurean Mourne Down District Council area, its length and breadth, and you know, all the way from Newry, all the way through to Downpatrick, Newcastle, and as far away, you know, over towards Camlock. And the images here represent sort of different corners and areas of the district area. Right through to Camlock and so forth in the very south, and then, you know, heading towards Newcastle, Downpatrick, etc. It's a big area. It's an important area. It's in the East Coast Corridor. In fact, I should have declared an interest. I live in the area, so I'm very keen to make sure that the investment that we're proposing gets made, the assets go on the ground, we continue to see the area, like all the areas in Northern Ireland, prosper. I suppose what we're about to talk to you about this evening is, you know, where do we draw our reference points from? Well, we have experienced teams of engineers and water specialists and wastewater specialists. We have a lot of that technical knowledge within Northern Ireland Water. But again, if we move on to the next slide, we've been taking a look for a while, and I've been working with you as a council area for quite a while on understanding a bit more about your district area and looking at the ambition that is set out within that for the council area. So as I read the vision statement, you can see it there yourself. Sometimes it's nice to have these things played back. So Newry Morne Down is a place with strong, safe and vibrant communities where everyone has a good quality of life and access to opportunities, choices and high quality services which are sustainable, accessible and meet people's needs. And then some of the ambitions in there, one or two of the targets said in there, by 2030, the ambition to have 15,000 plus new homes in the district. And maybe to have 9,000 or more new jobs in the district, which hopefully will come from Indigenous companies, local supply chains, as well as foreign direct investment into the region as well, right across the province. Again, the main city is Newry, I suppose, then, and then you know, we'll go as far as we have down Patrick as well, as you can see, and not forgetting those outlying districts right across the council area. I suppose, why do we look at your plan? We want to understand what's in your plan so that we can make sure our asset base is able to meet the needs of your plan. And I suppose one of the things you'll see this evening is some of the detail around what we propose to do during this price control 21 period, and Stephen will come on to some of that when he's doing his presentation. But I suppose if you're to make your plan and make those things happen in your plan, and we all want that to happen. We want to see a thriving, growing, prosperous, safe Northern Ireland right across the council areas, and in this case, in Newry and Morne's area. If that's to happen, we need your help this evening and outside of this meeting. Northern Ireland Water, if your plan is going to bear fruit, if you're going to get 15,000 new homes built and 9,000 new jobs, you need us to be able to supply a clean, safe public drinking water supply to all of those new homes and jobs. We need to be able to supply clean water for industry that might need it, such as food production and other roles. And equally, if there's to be 15,000 new houses in the area, those houses have to be able to connect to a modern, efficient wastewater drainage system that takes the waste away from those houses and takes it to a treatment works and treats it safely, and then discharges the residuals of that waste safely back into the environment in a way that is environmentally friendly and in a way that is pollution free. If that's to happen, and we want your district plan to succeed, if that's to happen, we need to see the investment set out in our PC21 business plan, our price control plan, which was a plan that we built but was independently validated by the independent regulator here in Northern Ireland. We need to see that investment being made available to Northern Ireland Water on your behalf, on all of the people in Northern Ireland's behalf, so that we can put those assets in the ground, so that your communities can thrive, so that your communities can grow safely and strongly and securely, not just today, but into the future as well. So we will have an ask here as we go through the presentation. One other point before I hand across to Stephen is around our own workforce at Northern Ireland Water. So we have been very much, and certainly our frontline staff have very much been essential workers through this last number of years with the COVID pandemic. We ordinarily before now, we would have done these meetings face-to-face with you and Dun Patrick. But our staff work right across the district, as they do in all the districts. They're frontline workers, whether they're contractors, contracted within our supply chain. They work right across Northern Ireland 24/7 throughout COVID-19 crisis to maintain essential services. And we very much did keep the services running right through that period. And in the same way as the health service and the emergency service and others continue to work, our own frontline staff, our own laboratory staff were there in the workplace every day. The rest of us, we had to come home and work where we could do. And we're now graduating our way back into the offices now as well. Our wastewater teams collected and treated waste every day. Our clean water teams continue to supply clean, safe drinking water for everybody. And demand for water went up during the pandemic. I guess more people were washing and cleaning as they went. And during some of the very hot weather in the early part of the COVID pandemic, people were using water at home in a bigger way. Water for hand washing was critical to killing the virus and to making people both safe and feeling safe. And it was a leading weapon, I guess, in the battle against COVID-19. We followed government health advice to ensure that customers and our own staff and our contractors stayed safe. And we implemented significant, extensive safety processes so we could continue to deliver key water and wastewater services to you and to your constituents in the district area. So I like to give a shout out for our staff where we can do. They're a hardworking team. And in no small way, they continue to work very hard for us all. For you all, for your constituents during COVID-19. I'm going to pause there for introduction and I'm going to hand across then to Steve, who can pick up the presentation from here. Steve, over to you. Thank you, everyone.
Right. Thanks very much, Ronan. Okay, everybody. Just, I think it's important that we give an idea of how big our operation is, the scale of undertaking that we have across Northern Ireland, what we manage and operate on a daily basis. We provide an average of 596 million litres of treated drinking water every day. And we catch and store rainwater in our 24 impounding reservoirs. And then this is distributed, or it's treated first, the 23 water treatment works across the country. And then it is distributed through a network of 366 service reservoirs and about 350 pumping stations. And that goes to 893,000 households and businesses across Northern Ireland. So that's through a network of 27,000 kilometres of water mains. And just to give you an idea or comparison, there are 26,000 kilometres of road in Northern Ireland. So, of course, we all use the water. You know, we have our showers, baths, flush the toilet, that sort of thing. And, of course, that comes and is collected in our wastewater collection system, the sewer network. We've got 16,000 kilometres of sewers. And water and the wastewater then is moved either through gravity or through our 1,300 pumping stations to our treatment works. We've got over 1,000 treatment works across Northern Ireland, and they work, as you know, 24/7 a day, 365 days a year, and we safely treat the wastewater and then return it to the environment. But it's important to note that every part of our infrastructure network, whether it's a treatment works, a pump, or a pipe, has a finite capacity. Most of LI Water's assets are a legacy from decades ago, and so much of the capacity that can be handled today is based on legacy assets. And this is why it's important that we have network overflows, which prevent sewage backing up during heavy rainfall and causing the flooding of people's homes and businesses and schools with untreated sewage. So, as Rory mentioned, the utility regulator is Northern Ireland's independent pricing regulator, and they have looked at and scrutinised our Price Control 21 business plan, or PC21 business plan. And this is a 6-year water and wastewater investment plan for the whole of Northern Ireland, including the Nearing Morne Down Council area. In May last year, the utility regulator made its final determination, and in the FD, it concluded that the PC21 business plan is a good business plan, and that NI Water should deliver this plan over the next 6 years, and that the plan now needs to be funded by Northern Ireland's executive. The endorsed plan recognises NI Water's efficiency journey in terms of operating costs and has new challenges there, and also our urgent need for capital investment. And you'll also note £117 million efficiency on our capital programme, which is the size of £2.2 billion. And that makes sure that we deliver as efficiently as possible and deliver what matters to the people across Northern Ireland. This slide really projects our capital expenditure for PC21, and it allows a comparison with funding levels of the last price control, PC15. PC21 year one has been fully funded by the executive, so that's £221 million in the first year. So this is already a step up from PC15. Where you can see with the red line, we invested on average £150 million a year over a 6-year period. So you can see we have great ambition in terms of our investment, and this rises substantially year on year. £267 million in year two, £351 million in year three, £447 million year four, and then peaking at £460 million in year five, and then dipping to £432 million. In the final year. You can see on the right-hand side how the capital investment is split between the following service areas. Over £1 billion is being invested in sewage provision, and this recognises the great need for investment in that infrastructure. There's £444 million in planned and reactive maintenance over the 6-year price control. £168 million is targeting water provision and upgrades. And then we have our overheads, our running costs of our capital programme, which are £321 million. And we can't stand still as a company. We have to plan for the future, and we have a significant investment in planning for that, and also in our management and general programme at £187 million.
So we have our key challenges, and we should all be aware of these. We've all been affected, I think, in various ways. Energy costs have affected everyone. We are the largest electricity user in Northern Ireland. Water is heavy. It takes a lot of electricity to power our pumps, to send it around the system, and also to collect our wastewater. We have no ability to save funds for a rainy day or to borrow outside of our resource departmental expenditure limit. And this means that we rely on the Northern Ireland Executive providing the necessary additional funds in monitoring rounds, or we are faced with very difficult decisions such as switching off our wastewater treatment assets. And I think even in the SART reality is even then we wouldn't make sufficient savings. Just to give you an idea, our energy costs have increased from 30 million per annum and have become about 70 million per annum. And at one stage, we thought we were looking at 100 million per annum. Moving on to the next challenge, development constraints. We all know these are unwelcome, and I'm sure you're familiar with the phrase drains before cranes. This challenge will remain a feature of our lives for many years to come. It's important to recognise the progress being made, but also the long yards that we have to go, and we need to be fully funded on this journey. So underfunding of previous price controls is part of a generational underinvestment in sewage infrastructure, and that adds to the complexity and significant inefficiency to delivery of longer-term asset resilience, risk deterioration in levels of service for our customers, and is leading to inadequate environmental protection through increased sewer flooding and pollution. Basically, if we want to put up the drains, there needs to be investment in the drains. In terms of climate change and the climate change emergency, I'm pleased to say NI Water is assessing what it needs and what it means for the company and the journey ahead towards greater resilience and to reach net zero. We may be part of a solution for Northern Ireland going forwards as we receive funding from the Department for the Economy for a pilot scale electrolyzer. And this technology allows us to split water into hydrogen and oxygen using electricity generated from renewable sources such as wind power, particularly at night, and we can split the water and create hydrogen as a fuel. And this prevents what's known as wastage or curtailment of energy sources. If we look to, I suppose, climate change initiatives in the council area, this aligns really to our ambition to plant over 1 million trees over the next 10 years. And this got underway in January 2021. And approximately 40,000 trees have been planted to date, including Fofany in the Mourne. So you can see a picture there of some staff with Edwin Poots, and also tree plants have started in Donore in County Antrim. So this is important because planting the trees improves water quality, it captures carbon, which is key, it helps mitigate floods, and it enhances the natural environment. And I'd also like to highlight that we launched our Power of Water report in November 2021, and that's available for council members to view on our website. But if we now turn to some major investments made in the council area over the last 6-year price control, which is called PC15, 13 million investment was made in the Donore, in the Drummer Road Clearwater tank. Previously, there was no storage at the Drummer Road treatment works, and the new 35 megalitre tank enhances security of supply and significantly reduces water quality parameter exceed risks. In effect, it addresses any short-term supply difficulties and provides up to 6 hours of storage. Okay, next, we have a £2 million investment which was made in New Point Wastewater Terminal Pumping Station. This was to replace unreliable screens at the inlet. These were at the end of their useful life. The upgrade has improved the efficiency of the pumping station because we had incurred operating costs of $250,000 a year on clearing the screens. And it's also improved the quality of the storm discharge into the Newry estuary. In PC15, as part of the EU Shared Waters Enhancement and Locks Legacy project, or SWEL project, £6.2 million was invested in Warren Point, and that was to improve the water quality in the Carlingford Lock catchment. So this involved construction of a new inlet works at Warren Point, and included a new balance tank, which helps control the flow and ensures wastewater is screened before it passes to the new activated sludge tanks. The activated sludge tanks now alleviate previous overload problems at the treatment works and give you an idea of the size. They're twice the volume of Olympic size swimming pool.
Building work at Warren Point Tootmurts was undertaken by Dungannon-based Gida Construction, while Newry-based Water Solutions Ireland were responsible for the extensive mechanical, electrical and process-related work at this site. This slide captures restoration work on the Mourne Wall. In PC15, we invested £1 million in phase one, whereby specialist contractors restored the wall, and this involved teams using a helicopter, you can see in the middle slide, transporting materials to remote sites. This is Steve Birna in this photo. They were working through all types of weathers, and the team hiked up to 6 kilometres a day to carry out these repairs. Fortunately, for the bulk of the restoration work, the stone was lying adjacent to the wall. Missing capping stones weighing up to 120 kilos each were sourced from local quarries and donated by the National Trust, and these were transported by the helicopters and rolled into place using age-old methods. So we're now moving from phase one to phase two in PC21 of this restoration project, and we're finding that the wall is already starting to show signs of wear and will need to be repaired again. I'd also like to highlight that in October 2023, we'll celebrate 100 years since the first sod was cut at Silent Valley. We're already planning towards this special anniversary, which will be a celebration and coming together of generations, shared history and a look to the future as well. In terms of capital investment in wastewater to support the local development plan, there's an investment of approximately £90 million in water and wastewater. £77 million will be targeted at wastewater services, and you can see some of the large direct investments there. £24.8 million will be invested in the Newry sewer catchment and treatment works, £8.4 million in Downpatrick, £6.8 million in Arnsborough, I think mainly in to address issues in the network, and again more funding will come for Warren Point as well. On the water side, there's £3 million investment in the Fofany clear water tank, again, to aid resilience and security of supply. And there'll also be an upgrade, a trunk main from Fofany to £4.9 million. So that's £90 million. And I should point out, on top of that investment in the area, we also have our base maintenance programme. So this slide now really sets out the current status of wastewater capacity development constraints, which I've not got. There's no single geography. It's across the whole of Northern Ireland. Over 100 economically constrained areas are to be found, unfortunately. In PC21, we hope to address 49 of these with our wastewater treatment upgrade programme. But we also realise at the same time there will be arisals or further constraints will be identified in about 30 areas. But with that work, we're getting after about 50% of the issue in terms of population number. So we know capacity constraints are unwelcome, and this is an issue that will require sustained investment funded by the Northern Ireland Executive over the next probably 15 to 20 years. And so some of those schemes are highlighted early in the deck. We're working closely with developers and council planners across the whole of Northern Ireland, and we're committed to maximising utilisation of our sewer infrastructure and asset base, and we've been exploring all avenues. Critical to this early engagement is via the pre-development inquiry process that we have. Now, what are we doing to address the economic constraints problem? Well, we've got two levels. Or two approaches. There's the strategic level, where we sought significant funding to update our sewer networks and our wastewater treatment works. And we've been successful in having a robust plan developed for the next 6 years, that's been supported by the utility regulator. But we're also looking at the tactical level, looking to design and construct developer-led and developer-finance solutions on a bespoke site-by-site basis. We've established a new capability by forming a new team, which brings additional resource to the issue, as well as several new processes and procedures. And we've revised and provide more detailed planning responses to the planning applications that we receive. We have a solutions engineering team to develop alternative drainage approaches as we strive to accommodate new developments. I just want to emphasise, where there is a solution, such as storm separation, we find it.
but that cannot be in the case in all situations. In these circumstances, a significant wastewater asset upgrade is required, and this is reliant on adequate and sustained funding of NI Water over the 6 years of PC21 and for future price controls. This slide really is to provide the councillors with some information on our key NI Water campaigns and our education team activities in the local community. Please check out the link that we have there to the customer care register. This offers a range of free additional services for older consumers, those in the community that have serious medical conditions, or indeed anyone that needs any extra help for any other reason. On our website, you can also find information on the Bag It Bin It campaign, which is aimed at preventing sewer blockages. We need to make sure that we just flush pee, poo and paper down the toilet. Otherwise, wet wipes, etc., will cause blockages and lead to over sewer flooding. We also promote efficiency measures, water efficiency measures in the schools, and we have revolution campaigns as well to prevent single bottle plastic use. And really, it's good to highlight to you that the education team over the last 2 years has visited about 107 schools, both virtually and in person. And we've also been able to install 35 water butts, which reinforces our water efficiency message in the local schools. Okay, well, that's my last slide. I'm going to hand back to Ronan, who will summarise. You're on mute, Ronan.
Bear with me. Apologies. In summary, the utility regulator, their PC21, this price control they're in now, the 6 year price control, we've just completed the first year. Their final determination was a £2.2 billion efficiency in Northern Ireland, Northern Ireland's water and wastewater assets right across Northern Ireland over the 6 years. And we can provide major infrastructure upgrades to enable economic growth. So back to your plan at the beginning, 15,000 plus houses, you know, ideally 9,000-10,000 jobs and rising in the area. So we can put the infrastructure, and you've seen from some of the slides that Steve presented there, some of those major schemes in your area over the last 12 months have been put in place, the Drummer Road scheme, the New Point scheme in your area, and the Warm Point scheme. And there are other schemes in play as well. So Northern Ireland Water can provide those major infrastructure upgrades to support Newry-in-Mourne and Down District Council's economic growth and plan for the citizens. But in order for us to do that, we need to make sure the continued investment funding is put in place by the Northern Ireland Executive. We're owned by the government here. The funding for capital programme comes from the government. So the only way we can do that, if we're going to make the investment, the funding has to come into place and has to come in place, you know, as we need it, as opposed to after we need it. The executive at Stormont must secure that funding. It's necessary to deliver the investment in the services required. And I guess my ask this evening, or our ask this evening of all of you as elected representatives, is that perhaps you can bring that message back to your parties at Stormont on behalf of your constituents. Because if we can make the investment, then we can grow the housing stock. We can attract and facilitate growth in jobs and employment and factories and small industrial units and manufacturing and the food industry, etc. If the services are there, the water and the wastewater services are there to allow that growth in your regional economy in the council area. So that would be, I guess that's one of our asks this evening too. You guys have asked some questions before the meeting. We had some written questions and thank you for those. You will no doubt ask us questions now, and we'll try and answer those questions as they come up now as well. But it would be really helpful for us to hear this evening from yourselves as to how you see that plan for your area from our perspective, and maybe hear from you as councillors what you can do to help secure the investment necessary in conjunction with your parties at Stormont. I'll pause there and we'll hand back to yourselves and to the chairman and take any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ronan and Steve, for quite an extensive presentation. I like the idea of the helicopter being used for ditches now. There's a couple of an Ollie call here that you can maybe use a helmet if you spare time. But anyway, I'll open this to the floor then. I see we have a question in from Councillor O'Hanlon.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks, Ronan, and your team for the comprehensive PowerPoint that you've provided us with. I wanted to go back over, first of all, the $8.4 million for Downpatrick. What exactly is that? What specifically is that for? And then my second question will be around your approach to the economic constraints. I know like a lot of developers would be in contact, both myself and our local MLA offices and MP office, in terms of it really is holding back economic growth, that the wastewater structure is just not there, which is obviously going to have huge, and you've touched on that, huge impact on the economy as we go forward. So obviously, yes, as elected reps, we can lobby our ministers and, you know, if the executive ever gets together to be able to do that. But, you know, it's just when you say strategic and tactical, you know, how actually active is that in terms of when you're going to look for significant funding? Are you just going to the executive? Is there any other way that you can like raise your own revenue or get extra funding? And then on a tactical level, I know a couple of developers have mentioned to me recently that they had approached NI Water with like a plan of how they could maybe help you deliver a better wastewater structure to enable them to actually build more houses. So I just wonder how actually active that is.
I'm going to take the second question first and then pass the first question about what's the $8 million in Downpatrick. So let me take the development constraint piece first, Councillor Hanlon, and then I'll pass across to Steve. So on a strategic level, we said we've sought significant funding to update our networks and treatment works over the last 6 years. Well, candidly, it's been longer than that. We've been seeking to secure funding for about 12 years and maybe more. But certainly since price control 2015, when there was a cap put on the amount of investment we were allowed to make, we pushed hard on that one. And that's why this particular plan, PC21, when we were asked to put together a PC21 business plan, and we were asked that we would cap that plan again, we said, no, we won't cap the plan. We cannot build a plan that is capped. We need to build a plan that is the plan that is required by Northern Ireland. Not by Northern Ireland Water so much, but by Northern Ireland to put the assets in place. So the funding has to be in place. We can only raise capital funding from the Northern Ireland Executive, you know, via Treasury, Department of Finance, Department for Infrastructure. And that's why I'm saying, talk to your parties on our behalf, on your behalf, on your constituents' behalf, because that's where all of our capital funding comes from. So in public sector terms, you have a series of public sector financing lines. One of them is Ordel or Resourcedel. That's the kind of running cost to run the services every day. Another one is CDEL or CapitalDel. And that's the capital budget allocation that we're giving to allow us to build our asset base. And we need to know today, if we can know today what our investment, what our budget available is across the 6 years, we could let contracts right across those 6 years to our supply chain. And that work could begin almost immediately, begin in a structured manner, but we could start to secure the different projects that will ultimately lead to more investment in your case tonight, in your area, such as what you've seen in those treatment works at Warren Point and at the head of the works at New Point in Newry. Those are upgrading and putting in new structures, new infrastructure that will lift wastewater treatment to a higher level, to a higher level of standard of compliance, as well as hopefully give additional capacity. But our network, the network that takes the sewage away from the homes, from the factories, or the hospitals, and the schools, the pipes that run under the ground that take the sewage to the wastewater treatment works across the district area, as well as extensively a lot of the wastewater treatment works themselves, both the network and the treatment capacity is under constraint. And if we pollute knowingly as a company, we get prosecuted in the courts and we get taken to court by the, we're not allowed by law, quite rightly, to pollute knowingly or to cause pollution knowingly. And I guess if I was to ask you guys as councillors, you would not want us to pollute in your district area. You want to have a clean, secure, safe area that the people who live there can enjoy. It's a beautiful area. I mean, we're spoiled here in Newry Moore and Down District. It's one of the most beautiful council areas in Northern Ireland. I'm biased, but I'm putting my hand up to say that. And you don't want us or anyone else polluting it. We certainly don't want to pollute. But the investment needs to be made. And the only way we get investment budget is from the Northern Ireland Executive through the Department of Finance and into the Department of Infrastructure. Now, help has been given in the past was to get, there was a little boost in the first year of PC21, where I think between Department of Finance and Department of Infrastructure, the allocation was made available to us. But this year, we're now in year two, so we're in the second month, now almost the third month of year two, and we're still discussing and debating with our minister, with the department, what our budget for capital will be in year two. We haven't had a full allocation. We know there were special circumstances around that because there is the issues at Stormont coming back together and forming an executive. But even with that in place, the longer we go without a budget, the less we're able to make that investment. So I think that for year two, we want approximately £282 million of capital money to invest in the networks, some of which will be invested in your area. We're getting, at this point, we're working on the basis of getting £200 million, so £82 million short. We need all of that money this year and next year. And as one of Steve's earlier graphics was showing, the investment rises through PC21 before it starts to sort of tail off a little bit, but we'll continue that level for some time. So Northern Ireland's wastewater assets and water assets need substantial investment if we're to start addressing the backlog for investment for the debt, so that people can build houses, developers can come and build houses. But we by law are not allowed to bring new houses onto the network, knowing that the network can't take the load. Now, what we have been doing, as Steve was explaining earlier, we are working with developers and we've been having lots of conversations with them and meeting with them, where we're looking to design and build some of the developer-led solutions that they might be able to do. So if they can alleviate and do what we describe as storm offsetting, we can probably help them get their scheme built. It has to be done in a fair and equitable way. But we are having those conversations pretty much every week now with developers. But there will be a limit to how much of that can be done. The big answer here lies in Northern Ireland being able to invest in its drainage network and its drainage treatment, so that this, you know, so people can move into new homes, they can build new factories and so on. We have done some good work across the district in the last number of years, right across the piece, including down at Dunpatrick. We facilitated the expansion of the Finnebrogue plant, the food manufacturing plant, where we both on the wastewater side, but also actually on the water side, bringing water to that side so that site could open. So we are flexible where we can be, and we will always look to find a solution where we can. But if it's very clear that we shouldn't take on the new development, we regrettably can't approve the planning for it. And that doesn't come easy to us. We want to approve the new housing developments and the new industrial units and the new jobs. But we are cognizant of our duties under law. And sometimes we have to go back and say, right now the approval couldn't go ahead, or there might be some restricted pieces we give within the approval. But that comes back to making sure that the money, the capital Dale budget, can be made available to Northern Ireland Water to invest in the assets on your behalf. And to your question, Councillor Hannan, that's the only area we can, you know, the only way we can raise capital money right now in the current structure is through the Northern Ireland Block Grant and the Department of Finance, and down to our own Department for Infrastructure, then we get an allocation from DOF. Steve, can I hand back to you to pick up what the money that's in the plan will be spent in Dunpatrick?
Yeah, so, okay, thanks for on it. In Dunpatrick, there's £8.4 million is being invested in upgrading the actual wastewater treatment works itself, but there's also investment being made in the sewer network to address, the Stranford Road pumping station. It's £140,000that's planned to invest there. There's the Ardenlea pumping station as well, about £240,000 is being targeted at that. And then there's the Ardfern pumping station, about £100,000. So those schemes, say, are part of the PC21 business plan that was reviewed by the utility regulator. Okay.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you. Councillor, thank you.
Thank you.
Next, I have a question from Councillor Mulgrew.
Thank you very much, Michael, and well done on chairing your first big meeting. It's going well so far. Ronan, I just want to, again, I spoke to you last year after our late meeting, and I mentioned a member of your team that had gone over and beyond with myself. And, you know, again, I want to just say, you know, that I have found that with a number of your staff. And I think, you know, we should commend people with that type of work ethic and attitude. So I just want to mention that again. I think we forget how the current cost of living crisis is impacting on the likes of yourselves and other service providers. It's also the same with the voluntary and charity sector. You know, we're getting that, you know, about how people are going to keep their doors open. But we forget, you know, for the likes of yourselves, your running costs in terms of electricity have doubled and will probably exceed that in the next 12 months if the rises go ahead. In terms of Newry, I mean, Newry is, as you know well, Ronan, is an area that has been red flagged for a number of years because it has really reached its capacity. And we are starting to see that coming through on our planning applications, you know, where there are negative responses coming from yourselves in terms of the wastewater. So it is heartening to see that further investment is planned for the Newry area, because we desperately need more housing in the Newry area. And, you know, we have lots of regeneration projects coming down the line, which we would hope will, you know, create space and the environment for private investment. So, you know, would you be fairly content that the money that is due to be spent in Newry will future-proof us in the immediate future? And finally, just for Letian, I think this is another, you know, these sorts of meetings with yourselves and other agencies, and as I say, the voluntary and charity sector, it shows how utterly disgraceful it is that our assembly is not up and running, you know, and that is so disheartening for everybody. But how can we move forward when those who we have put in place to make the decisions aren't taking their seats, and that they are doing a huge disservice to the entire community, and we're being held to ransom by a few, and it's despicable. But over to you, Ronan, and thank you for your time, to you and the team as always.
Thank you, Councillor McGrew. Thank you very much. Look, and thanks for the feedback. It's always great to get positive feedback about our staff. We get all kinds of feedback. Sometimes we get not so good feedback, but we welcome all of it, because we can directly go back to our staff and say we had a good response from the councillor here this evening, and that does them good because they work hard and they worked very hard during COVID. There was a lot of uncertainty for everyone, and those frontline teams, particularly those in the laboratory services teams, they kept going as frontline pretty much. They were in the workspace every day doing what they had to do. And that's been a big piece. So thank you for that message, because it's helpful for me to go back to them. In terms of inflation, you're absolutely right. We're all seeing the effects of that, whether it's in our household budgets or whether we're seeing it, you know, in our workplace. And Northern Ireland Water is no different. And we're doing a piece of work at the moment with DFI, and they're working with DOF to try and secure money for the energy bills that we use. We're a big energy user, and we make no bones about that. We'd like to be more carbon neutral, and we have plans in place to do that over the coming years. But right now, we, as Stephen was saying earlier, we pump water, we then treat that water, we then pump it to your homes and businesses, and then we take the waste back often as gravity fed where we can do, but then we have to pump it as well. And then we treat it through processes as well. And that all takes energy. We're the largest energy user in Northern Ireland. And we do buy well what we can do, but, you know, energy prices have just doubled, as you say, and we're working hard to look at that. We've locked in some pricing for this current year, we think, at hopefully advantageous prices, but the price continues to move and is still increasingly volatile. And we all know the circumstances around that. They're to do with post COVID, and they're mainly to do with the uncertainty and the volatility that's come from the dreadful war in Ukraine. In terms of working with the Assembly and working with yourselves, and this is why I'm asking you guys tonight, because you have a role to play here. The funding, if we secure funding for Newry and Moreland Down District, and you were talking with the Newry area, and we get that funding, you know, across the 6 years, and we know it's coming, so we can talk to developers, we can talk to our supply chain, and they can invest in equipment and people to start to clear sites and start to put plans in place. It will begin to, the words next are important, it will begin to address the backlog of underinvestment, and it will begin to ease the kind of the shortages within the network and the capacity. It won't cure them, but it will begin to cure them. And what we need to see, as Stephen was saying in one of his earlier slides, is a sustained, continued investment of capital into the network. Northern Ireland should not be disadvantaged against any other part of the United Kingdom or the Republic of Ireland or Scotland. And we look at all those things, and we're benchmarked and compared with the companies in England, Wales, through the regulation model. And we punch above our weight in terms of what we do with water and wastewater. We are an efficient water company now. We didn't used to be. When we started Northern Ireland Water in 2007, there was about a 50% gap between our efficiency and the most efficient companies in England and Wales. That gap now is down to about 5% or less, and we have plans to close that out through PC21 and continue to close that gap. So pretty much in regulatory terms, that gap has been closed. So we are an efficient. Good news, Northern Ireland is an efficient water company. We need the investment, and we need it on a sustained basis. Because if we know the money's coming, we can then start to build our plans. We can talk to our supply chain. They can start to get ready to start digging the ground. And those three photographs you saw earlier, those were completed pieces of work that we had in the pipeline for some time that we pushed hard to get the funding for. So the one at Warren Point that feeds directly into Carniford Lock, which is a beautiful tourist attraction for the district, that means that the effluent going into Carniford Lock is cleaner, it's safer, it's less polluting, it causes less issues for the biodiversity in Carniford Lock, which makes Carniford Lock, equally and further attractive for visitors to come and visit as part of the district plan. Tourism is a big piece of the district plan. The new point, the treatment works in the middle photograph, that's where the raw sewage comes into the treatment works at Newry. The main treatment works is down at the Green Bank further on down. If anyone knows where Newry City Football Club is, it's next door to that. It's a tight, constricted site. It also discharges into the Newry Estuary, which ultimately goes into Carniford Lock. I visited Newry Wastewater Treatment Works in February of this year and spent a half a day with the manager, the guy that runs the plant for us. And we were looking at a health and safety visit. The plant's in great condition. It works well, but we need more capacity. Northern Ireland Water will have to consider how it brings more capacity on stream for Newry. So, Councillor McGough, you're right to ask that question. We want to make sure that capacity is there. In order for us to do that, we need to know, as Northern Ireland Water and our supply chain needs to know, that the funding is available. The funding will be made available to us to let out into contracts. By the way, we have a good supply chain here in Northern Ireland. Some great local companies right across the province. And they are leading experts in what they do. In fact, they're so good at what they do that their services are in demand right across the island of Ireland, right across the UK and up into Scotland. And regrettably for us sometimes, they go where the money is. So if the money's being released into budgets in the UK and the companies in the UK need to come and do the work there, these contractors, and some of them are specialists, they're specialists on wastewater treatment and so forth, their services are in demand. They'll go, they have to go, if to run their companies, to pay their payrolls, they often have to go where the work is. We need to do more to keep them here in Northern Ireland, keep that expertise working for all of us, because the only way we can do that is to show them a forward view of where the funding is going to be so that they can invest in their operations here in Northern Ireland. That's what we need to do. And that's why I'm asking you all of you, to talk to your parties, talk to your HQs and say, what do we do this week, today, tomorrow, this week, this month to secure the funding for really what is a service all of us use every single day? So I want to future-proof. I want us to get future-proofed. But if we don't make these, we're late in making these investments as a region. We've got to catch that up now. We've got to catch that up and stay caught up. And PC21 will begin to address that. But it won't complete that. As Stephen was saying earlier, this is a 10, 20 year plan. We have to keep the investment being made. We can't slack off on that. So we have to find a way to get more capital budget available into the water treatment and particularly the wastewater treatment. We must start doing that now. So I need your help. It ultimately helps your constituents, and we need you to talk to your party HQs and your party leaders. You've got some great people, all of you in your parties. We need you to be working with them and getting that message up from a local level here at Newry and Moore right up to the HQ. This is as important as health and education, because it's something that we all of us use every day. We take a look at our business and we think our business is about health. Public health, public health, drinking water, safe, clean, safe drinking water for everyone every day, and clean, sustainable 21st century drainage systems that don't pollute. It's about the economy. If we can have the asset base in place, we can all help grow the economy here in Northern Ireland. We can take more jobs. We can take more growth in the economy. We can take more housing. And it's about the environment. If we're doing that properly and we're looking after the water properly and we're looking after the environment properly, the environment will continue to be a clean, safe, biodiverse environment, which is one of Northern Ireland's kind of key selling points, I think. So our business is about health, the economy and the environment. We need the funding in this.
Thank you, Owen, and thank you for your question, Councillor McGrew. Next, we have Councillor McKay.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks, Ronan and Steve, for your presentation. Just a couple of things. I was just thinking there, wrote down the word hydrogen. Hydrogen, obviously, that's the way forward. What is NIW doing to try and maybe eliminate some of their costs by using the electricity and could maybe perhaps generate that water they have to pipe and produce, if you like, and to somehow divert that into hydrogen to cut costs? And the other one was, and maybe more in a negative note, I see obviously money was spent in Uri, down Patrick and other places, and as our chairman, I know we have Silent Valley on our doorstep, on our back doorstep, but I hear so often about the Cranfield area is always under water, well, not under water pressure. The water pressure usually sits double of what you're entitled to produce. But the volume of water is never there when it comes to summertime, particularly 3 to 4 months of the summer. The caravans now are all designed with showers and everything else we have in our homes, but the water is actually reduced. They do not have the water, which also reduces the amount of water going to the homes and the run up to it. And there's also a plan for 56 houses just outside of Cranfield, which is going to take more water. So, is there anything been done with any of your expenditure and upgrading that would help provide water into the Cranfield area? Thank you.
Councillor, thank you. Councillor McKee, thank you. I'll pick up on the hydrogen piece first, and then I'll hand across to Stephen, because I think we had your question in before the meeting and the team was able to take a bit of a look at that. But again, you're right. When Cranfield gets very busy in the summer, and it's a beautiful part of the world, everybody heads for the shore and they head for the caravans. I spent time there as a child myself at Sandylands. You know Sandylands?
Yeah.
Yeah. Used to be Albert Patterson owned it, the Sandford.
That's right.
Well, my father bought a caravan there many, many years ago. It was to give us all a holiday. That's where we used to spend our summers. So we loved it. But it needs investment, because when the numbers go up and the summertime population goes up, and if the weather is good, and we all hope the weather is good, then more demand is into the area. And that's when we need to be able to invest to make our assets more resilient. So one of the things we are doing, one of the things we have planned for the area is we're putting more capacity. We're putting a storage tank like Drummer Road, a smaller one in Fuffany, up near Hilltown. That's we started the work on that storage tank. But Steve will come back and take a look at the answer that I think we put together before to talk about the pipe work and what we do around pressure around Cranfield. If I go back first before Stephen does that and go back on hydrogen, Councillor McKenzie, congratulations, you're very well read. Because hydrogen is one of the things that's been talked about as the way forward. And let me explain what we've been doing about it. So right now, down at Belfast, we have a very small containerised pilot plant running. Now, it is a small, it would fit into the back of a small container, enough room for maybe 2 or 3 men to stand inside it. But it's been running as a pilot. It can only produce a very small amount of energy from it at this stage. But we have also taken a step to invest in a much bigger unit to run a scale pilot. And that bigger scale unit is currently being manufactured across in the UK and is being shipped across to Northern Ireland. We hope to have it in a few weeks' time. We're going to drop it onto a concrete plinth. I'd say plug it in and wire it in. And then we're going to, the idea is that we will take final clean effluent off the wastewater plant, not even clean water, but final clean effluent, put that through the electrolyzer and split it into its component parts of hydrogen and oxygen. We then store the hydrogen and we restore the oxygen and use the oxygen, we hope, to improve capacity in the Belfast wastewater treatment works. If the pilot through 4 seasons shows us that it's viable, we will look to invest in hydrogen plants across the province on a scale rollout across the province over the coming 10 years. Because if we can produce hydrogen and oxygen from the piece, the hydrogen can be used, whether it's by ourselves, it can go into the natural gas mains, or it can be used to power vehicles. So we know that you'll have read in your papers that TransLink has invested in some hydrogen buses. And we will be talking to TransLink, we'll be talking to other organisations who might need a hydrogen fuel source to run some of their vehicles. So those discussions are underway. And we would hope that if we could produce hydrogen on scale, we and other users could take that hydrogen. There could be a commercial value to that hydrogen. And that would put money back into the system for running costs. So that's what we're doing on the hydrogen piece. If the pilot works well, we'll be able to roll that out to a bigger scale. It might be worth the investment making it roll out, but we need to do the pilot. We need to get the plant over from England, get it in, get it working, run it through its test, make sure it's all safe and it works well, and look at the economics around that as well. But I think you're right to raise the question, because that's part of what we're looking at under our future climate strategy. How do we reduce the carbon emissions we make? How do we use sustainable energy more in the business? And that thing on hydrogen that you talk about, that's one of the examples we're using to do that. So it's quite an exciting piece. We have to keep a steady head on it, because we need to know it works before we can roll it out at scale. And in actual fact, other water companies are coming to talk to us about how did we get here and what can they do? Can they learn from that? So it's nice. Northern Ireland is a great place. It is a great knowledge base. It's exported talent and engineering and so forth all over the world. And it's nice to be part of that piece. So hydrogen is one of the key things on our both our energy and our climate plan right now. And we hope the pilot plant will work well, of course the scale plant will work well. If it does, we might be coming down to talk to you in the district about where we're going to put a hydrogen plant across the New Aymon and Down district. So bear with us and then watch this space. We'll come back and we'll talk to you when we know that's ready. But it's underway, and I'm glad you asked the question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Stephen, can you pick up then on the Cranfield question there and maybe take a look at that? And maybe, Councillor, if we need to talk to you outside of the meeting, just conscious of time, we can give you a little bit of detail now and pick up again outside the meeting.
Yeah.
So we're aware of the development towards the end of Cranfield Road, known as Cranfield House. What we're anticipating then is that that will cause, when it goes in, an impact on customer service within the public water main. So we're already putting plans in place to upgrade approximately 1,300 metres of the existing main along Cranfield Road. Okay. From the junction with the Lugan Connery Road towards the caravan parks. And you're right, the actual water level is well above, if you like, our standard for the road, but in those high periods of demand, it does dip. And what we're advising as well is that customers could have a look at their internal pressure issues and look at their private plumbing installations. There may be some things they can do there to help themselves. But we are aware of that development that you flagged, Councillor McKee, and there are plans being put in place.
Can we pick up with Councillor McKee afterwards, outside the meeting tomorrow or even later on this evening, tomorrow maybe, and just share some detail on timescale, because you, Councillor McKee, will want to know what are the timescales for the 1.3 kilometres.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McKee. I'm conscious of time here, and some of our colleagues dropping off and been pulled to other meetings. So I would ask if Councillor Hannah McAteer and Councillor Lewis could maybe put together or join their questions together here, and we could answer them all then. One go. Cheers.
Sure. I think Councillor Hannah has actually dropped off the meeting. And just to let members know that some of the questions that were asked in writing have been responded to, and those were circulated to members earlier as well.
Thank you, Louise. Thank you, sir.
So if you want to take, I think, Councillor McAteer next.
Okay. Thanks, gentlemen, for your presentation. Yeah. And I mean, yes, Ronan, yeah, I think it's again last year as well with the same plea. I don't know if he achieved any money or not, but anyhow.
We'll ask every year, and we did get the money we needed for the first year. And it makes a difference, because you guys have got to keep pushing that message forward, because that's important for your age.
We realise that, absolutely, Just a couple of questions in around even your own strategy and some issues. You referred earlier on in your presentation to the strategic level and tactical level, which is developer involvement. Mm-hmm. But in the absence of central government involvement, is that to a certain extent not going to pass on cost to the end user, in other words, the buyer, and push the price of houses up, because, you know, developers aren't going to swallow this up into their costs. And is that not going to be a big issue when you see the costs of materials that are rising astronomically at the moment? And it's you know, it's bad enough without actually adding more to it. So I suppose in one sense it reiterates what you're saying too, but as long as there's not an over dependency on that. So that's just a common question, that there's the issue too of the, you know, existing and extant planning applications, where some of those have come online and then have been refused entry into the system. Now, I thought that they would have been factored in originally, you know, when they were given approval. And sort of, I had no head one situation along where the discharge consent was under question. In fact, was refused. This was for an application that was given plan up consent away back in 2006, and it had been partly commenced. And I my opinion of your modus operandi was that it was very inflexible. Your director or manager, I think it was, in my opinion, you know, they could have been much more adopted a much more, I suppose, state by state case attitude to it, because the situation there would be that the developer was going to have to go in and apply for a CLUD, which for all intents and purposes meant a second plan application that they had already paid for. And I thought that was grossly unfair, and I thought that the system in place wasn't fit for purpose, for that particular purpose anyhow. So that was that. The other thing I had recently there was, your servicing of your sewers. I had an issue at Warren Point in Queen Street where the sewer was completely and utterly blocked up, and I had complaints from the local hotel there, and in fact even access to the council park was being blocked up by overflowing water coming off it. And the result was that even more money had to be spent, because there was obviously years of neglect, and they had to send in a machine that was fit to, you know, to clean a main sewer as opposed to the normal ones that would have been just used in everyday cleaning, you know. So there's a few for you. Anyway, I'm sorry I didn't actually get a chance to put it in writing, give you a fair chance to reply on it. Apologies.
So maybe what we'll do is maybe we'll pick up with you separately in the interest of time again and pick up some of these pieces. Look, I think on the analog piece, I don't know the details, so I can't comment in detail, but imagine if there was an application going back into 2006 and sometime before that. If you think about the changes in the world since then, so in 2008, you know, the financing structures of the world collapsed and people stopped building houses, so possibly that site went into abeyance for a while.
That's and exactly.
Maybe it took a while for that planning application to find its way back into the system. But the world around the drainage network in that area had probably changed in the intervening, you know, 14 or 15 years, because we might have been facing new, higher, tighter standards from NIEA at that point, where they've said the compliance levels have to be different, the discharge standards have to be different, and therefore we have to remodel the whole, you know, that whole scheme again. It isn't a case of somebody taking out that scheme and saying we'll go ahead with that. So I suspect right. There was an element of that involved in that. And that's back into making sure we're not polluting where we shouldn't be.
Rona, just in case you go off on a tangent with that, you know, later on. No, the issue was about commencement.
Yes.
It really was about the commencement of the site. Some part of the site was done, the other part wasn't done. And your folk wouldn't accept the fact that building control had said the site had commenced. So they wanted, there was no facility within council planning department to, other than a CLUD, which was Certificate of Lawful Development. This was all to facilitate someone walking out and saying, I'm happy that started and give it a right, but you folk wouldn't accept this. But I just thought it was, it was nothing to do with infrastructure, simply at the commencement.
Thank you. And then, will our tactic hit house prices up? Well, we hope not, because, and again, I think the developers will be a bellwether of this as well, because they'll want to make sure they can sell their houses and not affect the price too much. If there was an increase in prices in because the developer is going to do some work with us around a particular scheme, they'll factor that into their sell price. They'll factor it into what the market can bear. But I guess at the moment we'll be the small end of that, because the biggest issue at the moment is just, you know, the materials and the construction prices that they're seeing in building a house at the moment will far outweigh anything that we might impact them on by looking at a way of doing this. And we only do that piece by way of invitation. They're looking at that with us, and there's a way through that. Then you know, they'll suggest a way through it, and we look at the feasibility of that. That's really what we're doing in that case around that tactical thing. But I don't think we'll be so detrimental that we would push house prices beyond a reasonable level. And the market will tell us that, but certainly the developers will tell us that.
Okay. And just the knowledge there about the sewage, about the servicing of the
one point
existing sewer system, I presume.
So that one at one point, we take a close look at that one and maybe try and get some history of that. I've made a note of that one. But I guess there's a good point in there in terms of not just the capital budgets for running, you know, for building the assets, but we need the resource budgets to run the assets every day and operate the assets and clean the assets and maintain the assets and service the assets. That has to be part of the piece as well. So that's back to my plea to all of you. To talk to your departments about saying if there is an efficient water company, we need to make sure that they have the money available to them to run the water company. But I'll circle back with you, Councillor McAteer, on that Warren Point Queen Street piece.
Okay, thanks. And I must appraise actually your liaison officer, Dennis May Kettigan, exceptionally helpful man. Just for your record.
Thank you very much. We feed that back. Thank you for your feedback on that. It's good to hear. Good to hear. Dennis McKettigan, yeah.
Yep. Thank you for your comment, please.
Thank you, Councillor McAteer. I would like to invite in Councillor Lewis for final question.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, it was a number of supplementary questions on the Dundrum there. There's a wide public concern about that project and moving from phase one to phase two, a number of things that weren't done within phase one that were supposed to be complete. But I'm happy if you want to leave an email address that I'd be able to follow with you at a different time, because they're quite lengthy and complex problems. So I'd be happy to do that.
So can we, Stephen, if we give so your email address then, and mine as well, after the meeting, Councillor Lewis could write and drop us a note.
Yeah, that's right. And we've got the actual electoral contact telephone number as well on the front slide, so you can get through to us that way as well. Just mention my name or Ronan's, and we'll come back to you. So yep, there would have been some responses that went back to you on the questions today, but I take it they're follow-ups.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Valerie, if you want to give both Stephen and I's email addresses to Linda O'Hare, then Linda can pass those through, and Councillor Lewis, then you can pick that up and drop us an email. Please do, and then we'll arrange to get back to you via email and talk to you as well.
Grant. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Okay, so I say there's no more questions or comments, so I'd like to call a close to tonight's meeting. I would like to thank the delegation from NI Water for their extensive presentation, and to Ronan and Steve as well for answering questions. That's the end of tonight's meeting, and I'd like to wish everyone in Downpatrick anyway a safe home, and everyone on Teams safe home too.
Councillor Rice, thank you for your help this evening in you know, accommodating us and hosting us. And if I can leave you all with that message, talk to your party HQs, talk to your party seniors, talk to your party executives that are up at Storm, because that funding that we talked about tonight that you know is needed in your district area, we all need to have that available to us. Thank you.
Thank you. Cheers.
Good night. Good night, everyone.